Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hour of Enlightenment, hosted by Jake Fife.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of Hour of Enlightenment. I'm your host, Jake Fife, and it's hard to believe summer's pretty much over. School's already started back, all of that stuff. And speaking of haunted schools, for some reason, I don't know what it is, but there's been a few haunted schools that have caught my attention here recently as places that I've always wanted to go check out. One, I went back and rewatched the Ghost Adventures episode of when they went to the Pennhurst State School. And there's just something about schools that even as a student and all that stuff, there's just something creepy when you're in the halls by yourself, you're walking down, all that stuff, especially when it's an old school. They just have that feel about them. And there's a few that you can book a night and investigate. And I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of residual energy because you have, in a lot of schools, hundreds, maybe even thousands of people that are there every single day. And even though something different happens each day, they're still essentially doing the same thing. Each day, they go to the same classrooms, they take the same paths to the place, the schedule, the routine is the same, and every year people change, so there would be, in my opinion, a lot of residual activity at schools, and it doesn't necessarily have to be because someone died there, it would just be because where all those thousands and thousands of people in that area did the same thing over and over, 180 plus days a year for many years, in my opinion, that's going to obviously leave an imprint on a location. So I think that would be really cool to go to a haunted school and just see what happens. I know one that caught my attention, they actually just recently opened it for investigations. I think it was sometime last week is when they opened it. It's Old South Main School. It's in Ohio. I can't remember the name of the town, but caught my attention for some reason. And there's a lot of locations. I'm going to talk about a lot of locations tonight that hit me like this. They don't have to have crazy, insane claims like shadow people run around, all that. Some slap you on the back. You hear voices. You hear moaning. All that stuff. There's just some locations that, for whatever reason, they could have just barely anything, any claims to them, but something about it reaches out to you and just grabs you, and it never leaves your mind. And usually when you have that feeling, when you go to that location, something tends to happen. But tonight on Hour of Enlightenment, I know it's been a while since I've had a show, but I've been busy with a few different things, but tonight we're going to do something that I haven't done before. I have dedicated shows to talking about some of my experiences, some of the locations I've investigated, but tonight we are going to talk about my scariest experiences in my 7.5 years in the paranormal field. Now tonight, I'm not going to just talk about spirits, ghosts, and all that stuff. We're going to talk a bit about monsters, strange Bigfoot-type things, weird birds, all that stuff, because these are things that I have experienced, or at least I think this is what I experienced. And also, I didn't put this anywhere on the site because I wanted to leave this. It's just a little bit of a surprise, but tonight I am actually going to be playing some of my clips for you all to give you kind of background information on some of these locations. Tonight I happen to have three clips that I've never played on the show before. Actually, I think in my entire 2 years on Hour of Enlightenment, I think I've only played clips once. Yeah, I think that's about right. But I want to thank everyone ahead of time, and of course say this after, but thank you all for tuning in tonight. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to go on facebook.com/Hour of Enlightenment, and you can either message the page or you can comment on the most recent posts, and I will be sure to get back to you. But without further ado, let us get into my scariest experiences. Now, the very first one I'm going to talk about takes place at a location I've probably talked about a million times, not exaggerating the number. But it takes place at a place called St. Albans Sanatorium. Now, St. Albans Sanatorium, there's just something about that location that just, I've said it many times, a piece of it stays with you. And the past few weeks, St. Albans Sanatorium has come to my attention again. And I'm not exactly sure why, but it's kind of like after my very first time there, I instantly had the feeling and thought, I have to go back as soon as humanly possible. And for some reason, the past few weeks, I've had a similar feeling of, I have to get back. It's not really just a want to get back. It's just the recurring thought that's either my own thought or maybe something else, but it's go back, go back. You need to go back. It's time. Different crap like that. And I'm not exactly sure why, but the first time I went back after having those thoughts and all that stuff, some pretty crazy things happened during that visit there. And I'm going to be talking about a few of those experiences from that crazy night later in the show. But the very first experience I want to talk about is actually from that night. I went there for the very first time on April 2nd, 2016. It's hard to believe it's already been a year and a half since the very first time, but time flies. But it was during a Vibe Radio Network event. It was my very first time at St. Albans Sanatorium, and I was there, of course, Fife Paranormal with my dad. He is the other co-founder of the team. It was his second time at St. Albans Sanatorium, and, of course, the first event went really well. We loved the location, the staff and all stuff were cool, but those thoughts, those feelings, not hit me and also him. We had to go back. There was something about that location. So on May 13th, the Friday the 13th event, I remember it very, very well. I remember just almost every detail about that night, everything. And so we went there, and things seemed just a little more on edge this time around. It wasn't – there was still, of course, the laughing, cutting up, meeting new people – all the stuff that typically comes with these events, especially a fun paranormal event. Excuse me. But there just seemed to be kind of like a dark shadow cast in the fun lights. Not sunlight, but the fun light. I just created that word. But there just seemed to be an eerie presence that you could feel as soon as you look upon the building. I know the way we come, we have to go across the bridge. I can't remember the name of the river. I think it's a New River, but you have to go across the bridge, and then you get to the building and all that stuff, and as soon as we went onto the bridge, you just had that feeling that something's going to make itself known, something's here tonight that hasn't been here in a while, what's going to happen? And of course, that thought's in the back of your mind, what's going to happen? Is it going to build up, and then nothing's going to happen, or is all hell going to break loose? You never know. So the investigation going really, really well. And then around, I think it was about 10:45, we were hearing that some people in the attic area were experiencing some dark activity. They were seeing weird eyes, what looked like eyes, but it could have been orbs, different things like that. They were seeing really weird-looking shadow people, hearing growls. And throughout the night so far, we had been in the bowling alley, and we had been in, I'm trying to remember, I think it was Isolation is where we went second. And we had some strange things happen, some things that was like, wow, that's kind of crazy, but nothing to the extent of what other people were saying. And so we went to Jacob's room on the second floor. Now, of course, Jacob's room is a crazy place, and I've talked about the history of it, but for those of you who don't know the history of Jacob's room, there's what we think is a little boy named Jacob. Some psychics and all that stuff, they've seen an older person named Jacob who has some mental, I can't remember the term of it, but he was killed in that room, in Jacob's room, and hence Jacob's room. So typically whenever we go there, there seems to be dark shadows that love to run around in the room across from Jacob's room. And this time it was my dad and I and two other people, we were doing a spirit box session. And we were getting some voices coming across, things like that. It was a very, very active session. And then we got the feeling to turn off the spirit box. Let's go to straight up EVP. So it was weird just being in that room in the almost pitch darkness with no sound whatsoever except the people moving around, the noises of people in other groups far off, either down the hall, downstairs, different things like that. But it was just eerily still. And then I remember someone who was in the room with us, their flashlight started turning on and off by itself. And then someone else started feeling a weird presence around the door, like someone was standing in the doorway, and they got the feeling that it was blocking us in to that room. So they took a series of three straight photos. And in the first photo, there was what looked like a dark shadow covering half of the door. The second picture, the door was completely blocked by something. It was just a black mass covering the entire door. So it was very, very tall, whatever it was, taller than any of us. In the third photo, it looked like it was starting to walk off towards where the grand staircase is there, so away from us. During this time, as he was taking the photos, we heard footsteps outside the door of what sounded like someone with heavy shoes or heavy footsteps just walk by. So it's very possible that whatever all of us heard, someone was actually able to take pictures of. So he shows us the photos. We're like, it's pretty weird. And we were just trying to find out exactly who it was, because we would see shadows dart from left to right, right to left in the room across from us. But it almost was like it was toying with us. It would give us activity, 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 and then when we really started paying attention to it, nothing. It would go, pun intended, it would go dead, basically. So we started doing a mix of paying attention to it and not paying attention to it. And after a while, it started showing itself and speaking to us whether we were paying attention or not. We were standing, I was standing with my back to the wall at the far side of the room, and we were just asking, if anyone is here, can you please make a sound? And what we heard, and I hate it because for some reason the voice recorder did not pick it up. I would love to play the clip for you all, but we heard, it almost sounded like it came from the walls. It's just weird because of, obviously, there's no openings in the walls, but it just sounded like it came from the walls somewhere. And it was just this very loud, deep growl. And it was very startling because here we are, pitch darkness, everyone's standing perfectly still, and also you hear a growl. And so it was just strange because I don't know how to describe it, but there's times during an investigation when something with some juice to it shows up, it's almost like you feel, to me it's always like a mist, like a weird mist of pressure. Just, you feel like literally weight has been put on your shoulders and on top of your head. And sometimes even rarely you can see it, or what looks like dark mist just go from top to bottom. And we started having this a few dark experiences. We heard what sounded like something being thrown in the other room. We went and checked. There was nothing thrown. So finally, the rest of the group meets up with us, and my dad and I, we split off, and we go to this other room in Peekaboo Hallway at the very end, and it was called Evan Radford's room. And, of course, those of you who have been to St. Albans, you know exactly where I'm talking about. So we're there, and we're just doing a spirit box session. I was actually holding up my flashlight to some newspaper prints that they had on the wall. And I was actually reading one. They had one that was from the 60s, and it was about John F. Kennedy. And so I was just reading that, and all of a sudden I got the sense that there was something in the doorway. And so I turned and looked. And as soon as I did with my flashlight, I saw this dark blob creature. And it obviously wasn't human. It didn't look human. If you've ever seen the movie The Blob, the classic one, it looked kind of like that, only with eyes and a mouth. It was just really, really creepy looking. And it was just standing there in the doorway, and I looked at it for about maybe half a second before it took off. And it didn't look like it had legs, feet, or anything like that. It just looked like it just moved, almost kind of like a sliding motion. It just went into what I like to call the octopus's garden room, because there's a bunch of sea creatures painted on it, all that stuff. It's a very creepy-looking room. And so it ducked into there, and I did something that you should never do. I went after it. Now, of course, you should never chase these things, because typically, to quote Star Wars, it's a trap. So me being me, I chased it. And it's just weird. After I saw the thing, I just remember wanting to go see what it was, where it was. And so I wasn't thinking straight, and all that stuff. So I ran, and I saw it go into the hallway. And meanwhile, I'm running, saying, "What the heck? What the heck is that?" And my dad is following behind me like, "What, what?" And he's fumbling with his equipment and all that stuff, and he's behind me a little ways. And then finally the thing goes to the, I guess like a little foyer area where the steps go towards the attic, or it goes deeper down the hallway. That's where it stopped, and it turned. And I stopped dead in my tracks, and I'm standing there about 5 feet from it, just looking at it. And I remember just feeling this heat radiate off of it. And it had, even though the whole creature was black, I could still make out the eyes, the mouth, and all that stuff. It had big black eyes. No other colors on it. It was just an all-black thing. But I remember just this weird grin on it. And just, I mean, it exuded evil. And so my dad went behind me, and he saw the thing. And so we started backing up slowly, and we went back to the doorway of Evan Radford's room, and the thing started walking towards us slowly, and then it stopped, and then it went back. So we pulled out the spirit box, and we're doing just a little session to see what it is, and we had about a 3-minute spirit box session with this thing that had a very deep, very scratchy voice. But I noticed also there were some audio problems. When I went to go back and review the audio, some of the sounds didn't sound right. The sweep, I don't remember the sweep stopping of the spirit box. It would stop occasionally, which is really, really weird. There are also no radio signals coming through. So someone, or not really someone, but something was blocking the signals, which is typical when you're at a place that's charged like St. Albans is. But after a few minutes, we decided it was best to just leave the area and go back downstairs and meet up with everyone else. And so as we did, you could see the thing in the hallway just standing there looking at us. And as we were rounding the stairs, I had the spirit box still running, and we heard a voice, the same scratchy, deep voice, said hello over the box as if it was just toying with us, just messing. And after that, we turned the box off, and we went and rejoined everyone else. Now, the hallway that I'm talking about is Peekaboo Hallway, and the reason they call it Peekaboo Hallway is people have reported at the very end, very, very end of the hallway, this shadow thing that will sometimes peer around the corner and will play a game of peekaboo with you. Now, we have never played a game of peekaboo with the peekaboo spirit, but there have been times in that hallway, the most recent being during our March 10th private investigation of St. Albans Sanatorium, we saw what looked like something at the end of the hallway. For us, it's usually been on the right. that we've seen. To the right side at the end of the hallway, something looks like it's peeking around at us. It's very weird, but that was my experience with what I call the blob creature of St. Albans Sanatorium. Now, the next experience I'm going to talk about is actually in Jacob's room, and this takes place during our March 10th private investigation. There were only three people present in the room, and we didn't have as many experiences this time around in Jacob's room as we had the three times before that we had been, but it was still very, very weird. We still got the sense that something was around, but it didn't want to really show itself. It was just kind of, I don't know, the only way I can think to say would be maybe scouting us, like scouts scouting the enemy army, all of that stuff before it shows itself. That was the sense I got from it. So we, and also this was pretty cool because we were actually live streaming on Facebook as this was happening, and you could hear in the hallway, which where Peekaboo Hallway is, you could hear what sounded like footsteps, someone running up and down the hallway. And we went to go check, and then I went about halfway out of the room, and then I heard what sounded like whistling. Now, what's interesting is in Peekaboo Hallway, there is a room, and it's called the Whistle Room. And there is a spirit there that they call the Whistler, and supposedly, if you whistle to it, it will whistle back. And so as I'm walking out, I hear what sounds like whistling. So I'm actually going to play that clip for you right now. I'm sorry if the audio is loud and distorted and all that stuff. I haven't played clips in a while, so I'm not exactly sure how they will sound. But this is what we captured from Jacob's room at St. Albans Sanatorium. But that is basically what we heard. I'm going to play it again. We are going to hear as soon as the audio starts, about half a second in, you're going to hear like a woo-hoo, something like that. But that is basically what the three of us heard. And, of course, our setup during that investigation, or that part of the investigation, was we had the spirit box about in the middle of the room. We had the voice recorder very close to the spirit box speaker. And that's something that then we have improved upon. But it sucks that we weren't able to pick up the whistling as loud as it was in real time, because it was pretty loud, and we could hear it, everyone heard it, and we started trying to whistle back, seeing if whatever it was would whistle. I think we maybe heard the whistle one more time, but our audio recorders, for some reason, didn't pick it up. But that was our experience with the Whistler at St. Olaf Sanatorium, and the next clip I'm going to play for you all is actually from Jacob's room, and it was recorded about 5 minutes after we heard the whistle. So we're all in the room, we're asking questions, we're talking amongst ourselves, different things like that. Activity's gone quiet just a little bit. And this clip, you're going to hear what sounds like a bell. Now, what's interesting is, to my knowledge, there is not a bell currently in St. Albans Sanatorium in Jacob's room. I know it used to be in old sanatoriums and mental hospitals, things like that, it would have bells. And whenever it was lunchtime, the bell would ring at this time. Whenever it was, bedtime, it would ring, different things like that. And there might have been some bells at St. Albans Sanatorium. I'm not 100% sure. But what's cool is we heard what sounded like a bell ring. And so we're like, what the heck is that? And when I heard it, it almost sounded like it was outside the room, but the other people in the group, they heard it inside the room. And so what's cool is we spent a few minutes looking around, just trying to debunk it. And one of the people in our group actually found a little toy bell in the corner of the room. So it's possible that someone or something moved it, and it made this sound. So what you're about to hear is the bell in Jacob's room. Now, yeah, it was a little hard here, so I'm going to play it one more time with the volume enhanced just a little bit. Yeah, it doesn't show up very well on here, but it was just a very strange experience, especially since we found a little toy bell in the corner and all of that stuff. So that's two very strange experiences backed up by evidence in a little area in St. Almond Sanatorium. Now, the next experience I'm going to talk about is one that is very, very weird. It was actually my second experience with this type of creature, and it was the reason I put it on the list of my scariest is the circumstances it was under. So this took place a few years ago. I was out hiking deep in the woods with some friends of mine. So we were out just hiking in the woods, exploring different things like that, and it started to get dark. So we all decided it's a little too dark to be deep in the woods exploring, so we're going to head back home. So as we're walking home and all that stuff, the sun is already set. The darkness is starting to fall, and we can hear distant cars of the neighborhood and things like that. So we're walking, and all of a sudden, from what sounds like behind us, we hear this loud screech/scream type thing. And I remember it being so loud that after whatever was making noise stopped, it echoed for many seconds afterward. And we all just stopped. And we all looked at each other, and we ran. Just all of us, just a mad dash back to where we thought our homes were. And as we were running, about what seemed like a few minutes later, but it's probably just about 30 seconds, we stopped just as the curiosity to see if we would hear it again. So we're all just standing there. And we're standing on this slight little ridge, and we knew we were very close because you go up this ridge, down a little valley, and then up a ridge, and you're back in the neighborhood. So we decided since we had some time before it got completely dark, we were going to see if we could hear it again. So we waited just a little bit, and from the same general area, but it sounded a little closer this time, we heard the same screech, scream, I don't know what to call it, but we heard it again. And it was louder, closer, and one of my friends said, I see it. And they said they saw what looked like something moving behind a tree. And so we took off running, and the only way they described it was it looked like a tall brown figure or something. And so we, of course, ran back. We made it. And we never experienced it again, but I talked to a few friends later, and they said that for the next week, they heard strange sounds, like screams, screeches, howling, coming from that general area of the woods. So I don't know exactly what it is because I never saw anything. Only one of us said that they actually thought they saw something, but it almost does sound like a lot of Bigfoot encounters. And, of course, I have had other experiences seeing what I think is Bigfoot. There was one time when I was about 9 years old, we lived in the woods and deep in the mountains. And I remember I was playing video games, and I heard my dogs outside barking. And down a little bit below the house, a good ways, we had an ATV trail. And I went to the window to see what it was, and I saw this tall creature that had black and brownish fur walking on two legs. And I know it's the cliche, but it did walk kind of like the classic Patterson-Gimlin Bigfoot, but it walked like that. It was hunched a little bit, and it was just walking up the path. And I remember watching it all the way for maybe about a minute, maybe a little longer, and then when it went around the curve of the trail, that's when I lost it. But those are about my only experiences with a possible Bigfoot-type creature that I know of, but it's very cool. I'm definitely a believer in Bigfoot. Actually, before I started doing paranormal investigations, me and some friends would go into the woods and we would look for Bigfoot. And then where I used to live deep in the mountains, we would go out and we would sound blast calls and different things like that, trying to find Bigfoot. So I've been into Bigfoot and investigating Bigfoot about as long as I have the paranormal. So the next experience that I'm going to talk about that definitely sticks out in my mind because it was from my very first investigation, like going to a location, being there at nighttime for several hours. And this was about when I was 13 or 14 years old. And I said, yeah, I was 13 years old. And it was at this really, really old, old house close to where I live. And we were along with this other group. And there is a claim in this one room that I believe is a conference room. I think that's what they use it for now. But there is this lady in white that when she was alive, she loved everything being neat and proper, all of that stuff. And so the people there for the conferences and all that stuff, they started putting up different pictures and paintings on the walls. And they said sometimes they would come into the room and all the paintings and pictures will be off the wall and they'd be laying face down on the tables. But no one's been in there the whole day, all of that stuff. And some volunteers have reported that in the window of that room they have seen a lady in white. And some workers inside at night, late at night, janitors and all that stuff, they have reported seeing this lady in white with brownish hair just walk around the conference room, look at them, smile, different things like that, and then she'll vanish. So it's about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was walking around with my Sony digital camcorder, and I was taking pictures of pretty much anything and everything. I just wanted to completely document my very first investigation, and we were in the conference room. We were doing a spirit box session. No, we were doing an EVP session. That's what we were doing because I didn't have a spirit box yet. It was a few more months before I got the box. But we were just doing EVP session, all that stuff. And as I was panning around while filming with my camcorder to the window, I saw the lady in white. And, of course, I was thrilled, my very first investigation, and I see this full-bodied apparition of this lady in a white dress. She was just standing by the window looking out. And so I flipped. I was like, holy crap, holy crap, holy crap. It's the lady in white. And of course, everyone else in the room is like, what, what? So as I'm filming, my camera starts to go blurry when she shows up. And I was like, oh, come on, really? And so I switched quickly from film mode to photo mode, because that camcorder surprisingly takes some really good photos. And I was hoping that only the film would be blurry and the photo filters, I mean not filters, but the photo setting would not be. And so I switched over to photo in about a blink of an eye, and I remember looking in the screen for about half a second and just seeing her there, looking out the window, and a spirit, a full-bodied apparition. So I went to go take two quick photos. I timed it perfectly, as the manual always said to do, to take the best photos, all of that stuff. Every single photo turned out blurry. And it's too blurry to where you can't even tell really what you're looking at. You can make out the faint outline of maybe the window, just barely, and all that stuff. But when the photo came back and it went back to the normal screen, she had vanished. And that was wild because I had never seen full-bodied apparition like that before, especially since it was on camera, on my screen. It wasn't just a half apparition. It wasn't what might be, what looks like an apparition, not shadow person. It looked like an actual person was standing there. And I still hate to this day. I was actually looking at the photo earlier today, and it kills me every single time that the camera was blurry. So is it possible that maybe she blurred it? It's possible, but I will always have the blurry photos to prove that, yes, I did see something that caused me to take a rapid succession of photos. So the next experience I'm going to talk about is one that takes place once again at St. Albans Sanatorium, and I do have a clip. It's the last clip I have to play tonight. Hopefully this one will actually show up, but it takes place during our private investigation earlier this year at St. Albans Sanatorium. We were in the alcoholics ward, and it was just, it seemed like everything was just at a lull. We were feeling just a little bit drained. We were getting kind of tired. There was no activity whatsoever happening. I mean, you couldn't even hear, you could probably hear a pin drop from way down the hall easily. It was that quiet. And it's weird because many times at St. Albans Sanatorium, there's that eerie still of, you know, something's there and it's unnaturally quiet. But it wasn't even that. It was just quiet, just a regular quiet. And it was a little annoying because, of course, when you're there, you hear all these stories, especially in the alcoholics ward, where people have reported strange-looking creatures, a lot of shadow people, different things like that. And so we're all just sitting there, and two of us were sitting on the couch, the other was sitting in this little armchair. Next to us. We were just talking and just listening, trying to come up with anything to try and stir activity again. And all of a sudden, we start hearing footsteps come down the long hallway that leads to the alcoholics ward. And so we were like, okay, what the heck is that? And so we called out to whoever it was, no answer. We didn't go check because you never know what that area. And we started having the feeling that something was coming towards us. You could feel the energy shift just a little bit, and we started hearing the footsteps again. And I don't know the name of the room, but it's the room that is across from the alcoholics ward. It's got like a bunch of finger paint drawings on it, different things like that. I don't know the name of it, but I guess there's a motion sensor light there, security light, but it kicked on. And we were like, okay, what the heck is that? And so we got up and we were just investigating. A few minutes went by, nothing happened, all of that stuff. So we're back in the alcoholics ward. And I decided, being kind of funny, just wanting to stir just a little bit of energy, because when you're laughing, having a good time and all that stuff, you do create energy. And so we were just cracking a few jokes. And then I yelled out, Marco, trying to play Marco Polo. And so the other investigators, they laughed a little bit. And a few seconds later, there was this very loud scream. And this is one of those annoying things because, and all the investigators, you know what I'm talking about. You hear something that's plain as day, no denying it. It's very loud when you hear it. But when you put it back through the voice recorder, transfer it to your laptop, you can barely hear it at all. Now, thankfully, we weren't running the spirit box at the time. And so I called out the Marco Polo. We heard this weird scream and what sounded like something shuffling around in the hallway, exactly where the scream came from. Now, I'm going to play the scream for you because I do have it. Now, the one I'm going to play tonight is actually the cleaned up and amplified version. And this is the one that I think best shows it off. But it's still not as loud as when we heard it, because those hallways in St. Albans Sanatorium, they echo like crazy. And after we heard the thing, it echoed. And after that, we all just stood there looking at each other like, what the heck was that? And so I tried it again. I called out Marco, and it sounded a little closer, but we heard the scream again. Now, I'm only going to play the first scream. The second one, for some reason, didn't pick up as well, because one of us was moving around. But this is the alcoholic's word scream. Hopefully it doesn't blast your speakers or eardrums.
Marco! What the crap was that?
Now, it doesn't show up too well. I don't know. That's kind of annoying how Blog Talk just distorts it just a little bit. But it didn't sound like a normal someone screaming. It almost sounded it sounded kind of like maybe an animal screeching or something like that, but it was very, very loud. And we only heard it twice. And after the second time, in the hallway next to the Alcoholics Ward that goes into like this other crazy mini hallway, and I'm completely forgetting the name of it, and it's killing me, but we started hearing footsteps, like someone was shuffling around, moving from room to room quickly. And so one of us got up and looked, and they saw a shadow person dart really fast from right to left down this hallway. And so we went over, we were looking, and we heard footsteps in the other hallway where the screams came from. And so it took our attention back that way. So I start picking up that, wait a minute, it's leading us to one area and then doing something behind us to get us back there. It's kind of playing like a cat and mouse type thing, back and forth, back and forth. So I timed it to where I knew it was going to make a noise. I just had that confidence that it's going to do something again. It's been doing it for a few minutes now. Why would it stop? So sure enough, it makes a noise in the hallway. And it would always be something like feet shuffling or a knock on the wall, something like that. And this time the motion light in that room went on again. So the other team members, they went and checked it out. I stayed back watching that other hallway. And sure enough, I saw a shadow person walk out into the hallway and then disappear. And they're walking out of, it was weird because the room is actually taped off. It has like this, I guess it's a haunted house prop, but it says caution, do not cross, different things like that. But I saw it step out of that room. I guess it walked through the tape, and it just stood there, looked at me, and then just vanished really fast. Now, I had my infrared digital camera with me, and I went to go take a photo of it, but it just happened in the blink of an eye. So, once again, I'm sorry that the clip didn't sound that good, but that was my experience with something. I don't know what it was, who it was, but I honestly, I don't like to go too much onto this high saying it's not a human, it's not a human. My general sense of that, the scream and something moving around, I did not get the sense that it was a human entity. I think, now that, because it's not a human entity, that doesn't make it necessarily demonic. You have of course, human spirits. You have angels, you have demons, you have elementals, you have doppelgangers, shapeshifters. There's a whole laundry list of things it could be, of the different types of spirits that are out there. And these are just the ones that we know about. This doesn't include the ones that we don't know about yet. So the next experience, one quick thing about the Alcoholics Ward and all that stuff, that was the first paranormal experience that I can recall having in the Alcoholics Ward. Now, that was my second time there, but the first time, really nothing happened. It was actually my second, I went twice on a public investigation. So that was my third, but nothing had really happened before except one time someone caught a photo of an orb, like it was sitting in the middle of all of us just while we were in there talking, all that stuff. There's something about the Alcoholics Ward that everyone that goes in there to the groups and all that stuff, they seem to get wiped out, just drained of all energy and all that stuff. And it's a room to where if you sit down, you might fall asleep. You run that risk. It just sucks the life out of you. And it's not some creatures there sucking your life force so it can possess you. No, it's just something about that area just drains you physically. So the next that I'm going to talk about is actually one that's pretty interesting. I haven't really talked about it a lot, but around Christmas of 2013, I got my PSP7 Spirit Box. And of course, when I got Spirit Box, I immediately tried doing some Spirit Box session with it just to see which settings worked. Should I use AM or FM, forward or back, or through, which works best, different things like that. Just fine-tuning everything, finding what worked for me and what felt the best to use on investigation when communicating with the other side. So I was in my room where actually I am currently now doing this show, and I was doing just a normal Spirit Box session. This was probably my second or third ever Spirit Box session. And at this time, I was still playing around with some of the settings, so I wasn't recording it on my voice recorder, which, of course, was a mistake. You should always film all of your sessions because you never know what's going to happen. But as I'm doing this session, all that stuff, I start having these voices that come across, and they're coming across really clear. And it's the kind of voices that you don't get often with a Spirit Box. There's no distortion or what did it say. It sounded like it said this. No, you know exactly what it says. There's nothing in the air for debate. But I felt a presence nearby, like someone else was in the room with me, even though I was alone in the room, the door was shut and all that stuff. So I'm doing the session. All of a sudden, on the right side of my neck, I feel, it felt like fingers just going down my neck just a little bit, and it was freaking creepy. And I remember jumping up, and I was like, what the heck is that? I find I say that a lot, what the heck is that, but it's just, I guess, the go-to when you're freaking out and all that stuff. But I had never felt anything like that, especially since it was on the neck and all that stuff. It was, I don't know, just something really, really creepy about it. And after that experience, I actually stopped using the Spirit Box for about a week. I guess I was a little cautious to try it again, because if it does that, then what's it going to do the next time? Just different things like that. But now I know, of course, how to protect and things like that. And at that point, I was still somewhat new to all of this and protecting yourself. How to use this energy of the Spirit Box to heighten your senses and your protection, different things like that. So the next experience I'm going to talk about is one that actually takes place in the woods next to where I saw the lady in white. That location, next to it, there is a park. And in these woods, there is this legend that there's an old cemetery from the Civil War, and the people, for some reason, in the area, they did not like the people buried in the cemetery, so they stopped doing upkeep on it. And the story goes is that the woods that is now full of trails and different things like that, the woods grew up around it. So it was just me and a friend of mine. We were walking in the woods. It was around evening time. It wasn't dusk, but it was getting there, and we were just looking for the cemetery. And it was very creepy because it's the type of woods where it just seems like there's a dome of trees. There's no real clear path for the sun or light to get in. And what's interesting is the very first set of trails put in that park was, I believe it was 1942, was the first set of trails. And then in the 80s, they put new trails, and then they keep adding on here every once in a while. We were on the new trails, and I got the sense that there was something over this little knoll. And so we walked over this small little knoll, and we found what looked to be one of the original trails from the 40s. That's where, like, this is kind of cool. No one's probably been on these trails for many years. And so we were just walking, and you started getting the sense that you aren't alone. We would see things out of the corner of our eyes, moving, different things like that. Now, it's important to note that the friend I was with, he was skeptical of all this stuff. He was not a believer, but he was open to the possibility of life after death, the paranormal, all that stuff. So the two of us start seeing these things. And at one time, I remember turning around real quick, just out of nowhere, and catching a figure peering out from behind a tree. And I remember it was weird because it had, like, whitish eyes. And that was just really crazy, especially since it was evening time. To be completely honest, we were lost in the woods, but neither of us would admit that we were lost. It was those kind of moments. But we were just walking, and we would see these things dart behind trees. And I remember everything just got very quiet, like the disturbing quiet. The birds stopped chirping. The crows stopped calling or whatever sound they make. The squirrels stopped rustling in the leaves. And the only sound that we would hear would be footsteps. And it wasn't animal footsteps. It wasn't deer footsteps, all that stuff. It sounded human. And it didn't sound like just one human. It sounded like many. I would say anywhere between 3 to 5 different sets that we would hear at once around us. And so we started getting just deeper and deeper. And I started feeling what kind of felt like energy rising. Like you're getting close to an area that is high in the energy. For whatever reason, this patch of woods is not like any other patch of woods around. So I started getting the thought in my mind, could we be getting close to where that cemetery is? I remember the path started taking like these weird turns. And of course you had the, like in every horror movie, you had the trees that looked evil, the shadows cast on them look like faces, just every cliche for an in the woods horror movie. We were pretty much checking them off the list at this point. And we were walking up this, the path would go up and it would go down, it up and then go right and then it would go left, up and down. So we were going down, and I remember it started getting really overgrown on the path, and I was like, crap, we're gonna have to get a stick or something and just hit our way through, just knock back the foliage, different things like that. And the path took like a weird bank turn. Like, I don't know, it wasn't a completely sideways turn, but it was something like that. And we started hearing faint running. And so we both stopped, and we could hear on the path down from us what sounded like something as if it was running for its life. But it was just boom, 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 running down. And you could see in the back the leaves and branches. Now, what was weird, there were branches about maybe 6 or 7 feet in the air. You could see them being knocked back as if something was running down the path. It had really long Slenderman arms, and it was just tearing loose anything and everything in its path or in the way of its arms. And so we're just standing there just kind of frozen, and you could see the dirt kick up when it went around that corner. Nothing was there. We could not see anything. We could see the leaves being knocked back, the limbs breaking. We could hear something running towards us. And so my friend took off, just bolted, and we didn't really follow the path. We just took off anywhere we thought would lead us back to the main trail, back to where we were supposed to be to get back. Now, at this point, the sun was completely down. It was starting to get hard to see, and the thing started coming up the trail, and it was maybe about 30 yards from me. And I just remember seeing the dirt and the rocks kick up and the foliage, the leaves, the branches just going side to side, just breaking. It was insane. Like, if we could see the thing, it would probably be running down the path like Usain Bolt with really, really long arms, just tearing loose everything, waving its arms back and forth, knocking things down. And so I took off running, and we ran longer than I think I've ever ran in my life, because you had the sense that it was coming after you. You could sense it was intending to get us. We don't know what it was going to do, but it almost felt like it was going to run over us. But we kept running and running, and you could hear the thing running behind us. And so we took off the path up into the woods to take a shortcut instead of going where the knoll was. and the thing started following us through the leaves. You could see the leaves kick up and all of that stuff. And so finally, after maybe about 2 or 3 minutes of just straight up running on the path through the woods, jumping over rocks, leaves, logs, fallen trees, all this stuff, we finally stopped just to see if it was still following us. And luckily it wasn't. But that was just a very strange encounter. In about 3 years after, about 3 years after that encounter took place, my dad and I went back to that same general area with a spirit box. Excuse me. And we didn't really get anything over the spirit box, but we could see shadow people and all of that stuff. And we both just got the sense that, of course, there was something pretty powerful hanging around. We don't know exactly what it was, who it was, but there was something there. And still to this day, I wonder, were we close to that cemetery and maybe something was trying to run us off? Something was guarding it. And I ended up going on Google Earth, and I was trying to see if I could find where we were in the woods, but for some reason, I cannot find exactly where we were in the woods when that experience took place. I think I know the general area of where we were, but because Google Earth only gives so much detail, you can't see the old trails. It only really maps out the new trails, so I kind of had to just guess as to where the old trails were, but that was a really weird, really, that words are failing me, but that was a really weird experience. And it's one that a few other people that I've talked to, they said they've heard what sounded like people having a conversation walking behind them. And so they'll turn around and there will be nobody there. Different typical things like that. Now, to my knowledge, there haven't been any deaths in the woods that I know of. The only real possible explanation for the paranormal activity in that area would be that old Civil War cemetery. So, very interesting. I would love to go back, try to read up more on some local legend, try to find out where the cemetery might be, take a lot of my equipment just to see what we can find. So we have 2 minutes and 15 seconds left in the show, and I am going to tell one more experience that was really, really weird. I would like to thank all of you for tuning into this episode of Hour of Enlightenment. If you enjoy the show, head on over to our Facebook and just comment, message me, let me know what you thought, any suggestions for future shows, anything I could do better, any crap like that. It would be great to hear from you all. Thank you all for your continuing support. But the last experience I'm going to talk about takes place at St. Albans Sanatorium, and it was about 2:45 in the morning of our private investigation. So Chris and I, we were walking out of, they call it the safe room, the safe area and all that stuff, the big room there. And so we walked back into the building, and the door shut behind us. And inside the building, it sounded like all hell broke loose at about 2:45. And going into the investigation, to backtrack just a little bit, we had an idea that around 3 a.m., which is seen as like the devil's hour and all that stuff, we thought the building would just go crazy. We thought a lot of crap was going to happen. But we were in there, and it sounded like every door in the building was opening and slamming. And the thing that caught our attention, we were going to go to the boiler room, and you could hear that big door. And now it took two of us to get it shut and all that stuff. But you could hear it open, hit the wall, and then slam, open, hit the wall, slam. And this went on for about 15, 20 seconds. And as we went on the stairwell to go, we got called back by security. They had a question for us, different things like that. And so we didn't get to pursue and see what it was. But that wraps up tonight's show of not all of my scariest experiences, but those are just some of my scariest experiences. I want to thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Hour of Enlightenment. Keep an eye out on the Facebook page for more, and have a good night, everyone.